We're starting a new sermon series called Life Verse, A Close Encounter When God Gives Direction for Our Lives. Don't you love what our media guys do? And that's kind of like cool, putting it together. I just kind of give the ideas, like here's what we're going to do and here's how, and then they kind of start kind of milling around in their brains and it kind of goes all kinds of different ways and then it comes out like this. And so we're just grateful for each of them. Talking about this, each of our pastors is going to be sharing with you next week. Actually, Pastor Ken is going to share his story. In fact, he said, as we were talking about all this, he said, you know, I don't think I've ever really shared my story. And so I said, well, then this will be great. So my hope and my goal of this series, because each time I have kind of a little like feeling that here's what I'd like to see happen as a result, is I would like to see you build a greater appreciation and love for God's word. So I want you to be able to see how God has used his word to guide your leaders, so you could be able to see that and say, wow, okay, I can. If God could do that for them, we're no different than you, then God could do that for you. He could do that in each of our lives and give us the kind of direction that he wants to guide and lead us. And so I'm hoping that you're going to be able to have a renewed passion for God's word and a greater sense that he's going to direct you and use you in your own life as he would do that. Because I feel that's such an important part. Next week, Sharon and I will not be able to be here. Our daughter is getting married next weekend, so... Yes, we're pretty excited about that. I think that kind of means sometime in our future we just might be grandparents. I don't know. That's just kind of like part of my thinking, you know. If that happens, of course, my daughter said, it's going to be a while, Dad. Just relax. And I think, are you kidding? Look at this age. There's no way that I can wait too long, but it's kind of poetic justice. We made our parents wait that long, so it's just kind of part of that, but... And that's kind of the thing that happens. So we're pretty excited about that and appreciate your prayers as we walk through those doors. But today I want to share with you specifically, as we look at this passage, little becomes big when God's got it. That's my title for my message that I want to share, because I've not always felt like I had a lot to offer. And so it's kind of growing up. When I was a child, kind of in that point, I was kind of feeling kind of insecure, and I was a bit shy when I was young. Kind of got over that. I guess you can probably see that. That was also a part. But I went through my own journey and my own process of learning and growing. And so I'm hoping that you will be able to hear and see that as I'm walking through the scripture this morning, to say that no matter what you have, when you offer it to God, God can make a difference through your life, and he can use it and really do some significant things if you're willing just to trust him with it and willing to be surrendered in that way. And so I want to pray that God will use it. I didn't give you blanks in your sermon outline today. You have a sermon outline so you can follow, but it felt kind of weird for you to kind of put blanks in me. I mean... It's kind of my story, so that just felt weird. So I just kind of wrote it out so you could be able to see and follow along in the scriptures. So maybe one of those particularly would speak to your heart this morning, or maybe it'd trigger new thoughts. It'd be a part. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Thank you for leading in my life personally. Thank you that I have the opportunity to share that. I'm always humbled that the God of the universe would love us so much that he would call us by name, bring us from death to life. Thank you, Father, for what you mean to us. In Christ's name, amen. I'm sharing the verse, the least of you will become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. You'll hear why I am the Lord, and this time I'll do quick, swiftly. Some of you are familiar with that, and you've heard a bit of the story. I don't think I've ever shared in total context all of my story, so you kind of heard snippets in different time periods over the years, but I want to share it all with you so you could understand. One of the things that I feel is really vital and very important is the importance of God's word and how he wants to use it in your life. And so there's nothing that's more important than God's word speaking to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Nothing is more important. I mean, circumstances, experiences, I don't care how mystical they are, nothing is more important than God's word. And that's why it's so important that you would be able to be at a point in place where you're letting God's word speak to you on a daily basis. That's why, you know, you hear me harp on this over and over. Hey, devotions are great. You read those, but nothing is going to match the importance of God's word for you. And that's why also, I say this in my membership class, we kind of go over about understanding the word of God and how we can be able to see that. Oftentimes I'll say, look, I want you to understand that if you, for whatever reason, would not be at Christ Wesleyan and you go to some other church, here's a key question you need to always ask. What is the church's opinion of the word of God? How do you see that? Inerrancy means without error. We believe that the original manuscripts of God's word are without error. That's a key piece that you need. Because if you don't believe in that, then you have to trust someone else to tell you what is the authority. If you trust someone else, then you're not trusting his word. So his word needs to be your authority for your life. And so it doesn't matter what the speaker says, like, or the preacher or the pastor or whatever. It doesn't matter what he says. It matters what does God's word say. And so when you come back, and if I say something in error, you need to say, like, where's that in the Bible? Because that's what you want to base your belief system on, what's in the Bible. Now, realizing that, God wants to use his word to speak personally to you. So every one of us can have the opportunity of hearing from God personally. He wants to take the Bible and make it come alive in your life. First, we know it's inspired. Now, what does that mean? Well, Scripture says this, all Scripture is good. That's pretty good, but probably there are a few of you that are still not awake. All Scripture is, exactly, that means God went into the writer and what they wrote. Now, it wasn't automatic writing. They didn't just go. They had a personality, and you see the personality in their writing, and they wrote. But what they wrote was inspired. It was God-breathed. And so it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness so that the servant of God may thoroughly equip for every good work. So you've got to use his word to make sure it's working in you to know what to do and how to work it. Now, we also know his word is alive. Now, this is a cool thing because it says the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, like very, very tiny, like as it goes in, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So that's how clear his word is to us. So that's why you go, huh, wow. The fact is, it is a guide for all that you do. Every time there's something in my life, you'll hear that as I'm sharing, every time there's something, a decision, an issue, something before me, whatever, I always ask God for his word to speak to me. I always ask that he might help me, or as I'm reading, just certain things will stand out. Now, if you know what I mean by that, you know that there are times that as you're reading, it's like it jumps off the page. It's like you never read it before. It's like it's highlighted, and you go, whoa, wow. And that's the Spirit of God, because you, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through his word. And so you look into his word, and that's how he's going to talk to you. And that's a very important part, because the Scripture said, he said, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So I always ask, Lord, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Could you speak to me through your word so I could be able to know that? So that's what he wants to do. Now, it becomes also a mirror to you. And that's why the scriptures tells us that don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, and this is how you know that you're going to be hearing his voice because you're doing what he's saying. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But see, he wants you to know it's his word. He wants you to see it as a mirror to you, to see what do I need to do and how do I need to work. Well, my first personal encounter, and that's what we're talking about, how God personally encounters us. Now, let me say this. If you don't have a hunger for the word of God, check your pulse. Really? Because one of the things that God does, if you're born again and you have God living in you, you have a hunger to know God more. If you don't, something's wrong. You need to talk to somebody because that should be a natural desire that keeps growing in you. I want to know more. I want to grow more. I want to learn more. All of those things are part of God's word speaking to you. Now, my first encounter came when I gave my heart to Christ. Now, I grew up in the church, I was born again and again and again and again and again. I was a kid, and so I just, every time they'd say, do you want Jesus in your heart? Yeah, that's me. And so I would do it again and again and again. I don't know if I just thought, I leaked and it just didn't stay or it didn't, I don't know. But I just was constantly doing that. Someplace around 12, my body shut down spiritually. It just shut down. I didn't pray. I didn't talk to God. I became hard inside of me. In my relationship. And so someplace between 12 and 22, those 10 years, there was nothing. What became really important to me were friends. My friends were the most important thing in my life. I wanted to be in the crowd. I wanted to be accepted by people. I wanted all of those kinds of things. And so I followed the crowd. I did what the crowd did when I was in high school. I could give you lots of stories and I won't, but that all happened through high school. When I went into college, it was the same way. I partied, I hung with the party crowd, I partied hard through college, and that was kind of my whole life and where it all was, and whatever my friends did, that's where I was. And so I got out of college, and I was teaching school. My undergrad was special education. And so I was helping people who couldn't help themselves. So in the daytime, I felt valuable. I felt like I was doing something insignificant, and I was. I was helping people, and that was important, and I enjoyed that. However, I would come home at night, and I would still feel empty. You see, because that wasn't enough to fill me. It was just enough to make me, while I was doing it, feel good. But later, I was still empty. And I can remember thinking about all of this and trying to process through. Here's what happened. God engineered some circumstances in my life to help me come to this realization. My car broke down, and so it was in the garage for 2 weeks. I had a ride to and from school, and that was all. And so I was kind of really getting kind of bored, kind of depressed, kind of discouraged. And so I started calling some friends to hang out or to do something. I called my A-list of friends, the people I really wanted to hang out with. They were all busy. I called my B-list of friends. They were busy. Even my C-list of friends, the people I didn't really care about, they were all busy too. There was no one there. And I thought, wait a minute. Like, all my life, my friends were supposed to be like everything. And like, who's there when no one's there? No one. And I thought there must be more to life than this, and there must be more. So I started thinking about that, and God started obviously working in my heart and my mind and helping me to realize there's something more that I need in my life. And so at that point, I decided that, I think they say God speaks to you from the Bible. So maybe that's how he wants to talk to me, because maybe I just need to let God in my life, and maybe that's a part. Somehow, when I came to that point, somehow this reality came to me that it was like, wait a minute. For the last 10 years, I've wanted nothing to do with God. I've refused God time and time again. I've closed the door every time he kind of prompted me or wherever I was, how was I going to know that he really wanted me now? Maybe God doesn't want me. Like somehow in my brain, I always thought God was just waiting, like, here I am, Arlie, come on, I'm ready for you. And then suddenly I thought, well, but maybe he doesn't. And this kind of crashed in on me, and I started to feel like, what do I do? I was living in Quakertown, that's down toward the Philadelphia area, and I was in an apartment, I was all by myself. And at that point, I said, I'll get the Bible, because I know God talks to people through that. I went and got this Bible I had. It was still in the box, still in the wrapping. Somehow, I had met a girl at a party. I had actually ended up leading her to Christ before I was a Christian. You can kind of figure that out. It's kind of complex, but she kept saying, like, I'm a Christian. And I said, really? Why are you here? And she said, well, it's a private, personal thing. I said, I don't think you get it, because I think I know enough about it that it's not supposed to be private, personal. You're actually supposed to tell people about it. Really? I said, yeah. You know, why don't you just go read? And so I told her where to read. I mean, I knew all the stuff. I'd heard it all. And so I just kept telling her what to do. And she, now what do I do now? I said, well, here's what you do next. And so so I ended up leading her to Christ, which is really kind of crazy. But so she gave me a Bible for a graduation gift. And so it was still in the box, still in the paper, because obviously I said, oh, that's nice. But when that time came, I went, got this Bible open. It was a Living Bible at the time. And I said, Lord, how do I know I've not turned my back on you so much that you don't want me? So I opened up the Bible, and honestly, this is just the way it happened. It fell open to this passage in Hebrews, and it said, but we've never turned our backs on God and sealed our fate. No, our faith in him assures our soul salvation. I was like, whoa, you really do talk through this book. I was like amazed. I was totally amazed. And I thought, okay, this is what I need to do. So I prayed, gave my heart to Christ. I knew how to do that. I'd heard that many times. Gave my heart to Christ. I called this friend and I said, hey, Lori, you'll never guess what. Told her about it. Called my family. They were, of course, rejoicing and all excited. And began living the journey that God was calling me to. I really realized right away, I don't think my friends are going to be like wanting me to be hanging out with them anymore. Like, what do I do? Like, how is this going to go? And I came on the scripture that said, of course, your former friends will be very surprised when you don't eagerly join them anymore in the wicked things they do. And they'll laugh at you in contempt and scorn. I have a number of those stories. Just remember that they must face the judge of all, living and dead, and they will be punished for the way they have lived. And so I realized, you know, it's just part of my journey. I'm just going to have to kind of suck it up and go through, because God has some great things. And I began to learn how to trust him on a regular basis. I wondered if God wanted me to stay in the teaching profession, because, see, I had prepared for teaching before I was a Christian. And so I'm thinking, maybe that's not something that he wanted me to do. And this is my first year of teaching. And so I asked God, what would he want me to do? And I came across this passage that said each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll keep teaching. And so it was like so clear that God speaks directly to your specific situation, and he helps you to know these things. And so I was like, okay. So as a result, for the next 3 years, I taught in that particular school in that area. It was a great experience. It was a great opportunity. Somehow, I knew that there was more that God wanted to do. And so I had cut hair ever since I was like a teen. I decided that I would go to night school while I was teaching school, get a license, come back and to this area and set up a business. And so I did. I had a business for about 7 years. As a result, I had about 1,000 customers. Actually, some of those are out here, and they know who I am. As a result, in fact, some people would come through the door and they'd go, aren't you the guy that, I said, yeah, that was me. But I was trying to sort through, where does God want my life to go next? And what is it that God wants to do in my life? And so my next encounter was when I would try to sort through and try to say, you know, I'm really discouraged. Like, how can I be able to find what does God want to do? And I just need his encouragement. And you know what? I came across the passage that said, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. There were times I felt defeated, and as I was walking through things, and I'd say, Lord, I just need your word to encourage me. Can you just give me some promise that's going to help us to know that you're going to be with me and walking? And I came across the passage, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And as soon as I came across that, I knew God had given me a promise that I could hold on to, no matter what I was facing, no matter what I was going. Now, I want to tell you, promises and God's word, that holds you when your feelings don't, because your feelings are going to, like, cave in. But if you have a promise from God, you hold on to that, and that's going to bring your feelings back on track. When I felt incapable of serving, I have to tell you, when I first started, I was very nervous about speaking in front of people and speaking in crowds and whatever, and I sang a lot at that time. I was nervous about all of that, and I can remember holding my microphone and it going like this, and I thought, that's awkward, and so I held with two hands, and it went like this, and I went like this, and held it down on something firm because I was that uncomfortable at talking in front of people. And when I finally came across the passage, I thought, you know, God wants to use his word to help me to have a promise. I came across, for the Holy Spirit, God's gift does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong, to love them and enjoy being with them. And so I would quote that in my head over and over every time I had to do something that I was not comfortable in doing. And so God's word continued. My encounter when God called me into ministry, I didn't really understand it when it first came, but God will give you direction for where he wants you to take you. But you need to depend on his word to make that happen. And so I came across this passage. I was actually sitting in my shop. I can remember exactly where it was. I read this, and I didn't understand it. Hindsight, looking back on it, it makes total sense. I'm not sure why I didn't understand it, but at that time, I didn't. And so I would read it, but it kind of stepped out of the pages. You know how I'm saying, like, you knew it was something I'm supposed to read, but I didn't know why. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. I mean, it's a leadership kind of passage, which now I see. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. Pretty clear it was going to be at a different place, and I was no longer going to be a layperson, but I was going to be a pastor. But rather tries to please his commanding officer, Jesus. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules, follow the boundaries. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. So I read it over and over and over and over. It wasn't until after I was in ministry that I looked back and realized God was calling me into ministry, and it was so clear of how he was doing that. When I didn't know where to turn, God gave me a promise for future. I started Meadowbrook. That was my first heart and passion. And Sharon and I really felt the call to be able to fulfill that and to be able to see all that was taking place. My dad at some point had like this idea that he would like to have a Christian school, but I didn't trust him with that. And so I said, Pop, you shouldn't be doing that. And then later on, God really kind of really put the burden on my heart as well, and then did all the work and tried to see that come to pass. But there were times when hiring teachers was just a nightmare. We couldn't find teachers, and it was just such a struggle. And I have stories that go on and on about all of those. But then I was praying, and God gave me this passage. And it said, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, I'd had that, the water of affliction, got that, your teachers will be no longer, will be hidden from you no more. And I was like, what? And you will see it with your own eyes. And so I was like, And from that point on, we've never had a problem in hiring teachers. It was just like, okay, that's it. Why didn't you give me this before? That would have been so easy. My encounter when God called me to pastor Christ Wesleyan was then once again. I started really praying, asking God to give me something that could really speak about what I felt my ministry would be like. And the Lord gave me Isaiah 61. And so for that first year, I just kind of prayed over Isaiah 61. I read it over and over and over and saw lots of things in there that God was really speaking to my heart of what he would do at Christ Wesleyan. Particularly, you know, it said he would double your portion of land. I mean, we started with 12 acres. We have 120 acres now. God more than doubled. I mean, he just more than did everything in the passage. But one particular aspect, I was at a district conference with, and Brian Ream was the delegate that was with me. And we were there, and our district superintendent, Dr. Harry Wood, stepped in and said, one of our churches in Penn Jersey, which is the district we're in, will grow to its size of 1,000. Well, that certainly wasn't going to be us, because there were lots of other churches that were, most of our churches were quite large. We were a medium size, about 180. But I turned to Brian, and I said, hey, that's going to be us. And he said, oh. Well, back in those days, when we came to our church after the conference, we would be able to say, here's what happened at district conference. And so we would talk about that. And so Brian gets up and he said, and so our pastor says we're going to be a church of 1,000. And it's kind of like, did I just say that out loud? Like, you know, that kind of feeling. It's like, whoa, I can't believe he just said that. Like, huh. And so then I started praying and saying, Lord, what is it that you want Christ Wesleyan to be? What do you want it to become? Like, and so I started praying about it over and over. And I looked at the passage just before Isaiah 61, the last verse in Isaiah 60. And it said, "This the least of you will become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and it's time I will do this swiftly." And I was like, wow, Lord, you really are going to build a large church. You really are going to build a church of over 1,000 in Milton. It's like, wow, really? And so I began praying about it, knowing that that was God's heart and that was God's direction. And piece by piece, it came, and within 10 years, we had become that church of 1,000. And the Lord had brought it to pass swiftly. Isn't that amazing? I just think it's like, oh. I started to really pray and say, Lord, what should the focus of my ministry be? What should it be like? And what do you want to accomplish? And what should it look like? And I knew that one of the things that was going to be a trademark of who we were was going to be unity. I don't function well in conflict. I don't. God knew that, and I just knew that I just needed to make sure there was peace, there was unity, that we as the body of Christ needed to look like what Jesus wanted us to look like. And the fact is, God has blessed us, and in the 36 years of ministry, we've never had a church split. We've never had a division. We've had unity that's worked. And it's just what Jesus wanted, because Jesus' final words to his church, John 17, is his high priestly prayer, they call it. And it's his last prayer for the church. And what did he say? That all of them may be one. That's what I want them to be. I want them to be one. And so I just really began to really pray that God would show that. I mean, what do we have to offer the world if we don't have something more than the world is? If the church is bickering and conflicting and anger and talking against one another and backbiting, that's what the world does. We're not supposed to be worldly. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to have unity. We defend one another. I protect one another. We love one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so I really felt that that was my passion, and that was what I needed to share, and that's the focus of my ministry. And so as I look at the body of Christ and we look at Christ Wesleyan, you come from all different churches. Almost no one has been a part of a Wesleyan church before. The majority have all come from everything from a conservative Baptist to a charismatic, and we all worship together. We all are here together, and we're all one in unity with Christ. Because that's what God has called us to be. He's called us to be that church. He's called us to be the people of God. And so I remember this time when I was actually at a point and place where I can remember the exact place I was standing when I said, God, this just feels so wonderful inside of me. I don't ever want to lose what I feel in my heart. I want this to always be the same. And the fact is that so many times, you know, the scripture says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. It can be really easy to get all about the works that we have to do. But I want to tell you, if we're not careful, we're doing a whole bunch of works, but we somehow lose the heart. And that's what he said, you have persevered, have endured hardships for my name, have not grown weary. See, you're still doing it, but yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. You lost your first love. I remember saying, God, I don't ever want to lose a love for your word, a love for your work and for your spirit in me. I don't want to just be religious. I want to make sure I always am in a relationship where Jesus is seen in me and he's able to accomplish much more than I ever imagined. He could take what little I had and make it big. He can do incredible things. And so I want to share with you this morning, if your heart is hungry to know God more, if your heart is hungry to return to your first love, if your heart is saying, I need a promise from God, I want his word to come alive, I'm going through something this morning that I need to know God speaking to me, would you just stand where you are? I want to pray with you in closing. And if any of those things fits you and describes where you are in your journey, you want to just say, I need God to speak to me. I need a fresh sense of his presence and his power that could work in me and through me. And I want to be able to see that as well. And so would you just pray for me? Yes, yes. I want to pray for you as we would close, that God would do that in your heart as well. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that the God of the universe is able to speak into our hearts. You love us so much that you're willing to talk to us individually. You called our name. You brought us into that relationship and place with you that just goes beyond what we could understand. You know each one that is here this morning. You know what they're facing. You know what their need is. Nothing is beyond your reach. So Lord, we ask that you would just do that in their heart, that you'd make the word of God come alive. And they could see something that they never saw before. They could have promises that could come to their heart and life that would guide them and direct them. They would not take a step without knowing your peace and your presence, and you would restore in them your spirit and your heart to be able to see them accomplish things that go beyond what their little that they can offer. Because when it's God's got it, it's big. So thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for using your word. Help us to be disciplined enough to be able to use it daily, to put it into our life, and to be faithful to follow it. Let's all stand together. Father, go with us. We need you every day. We're grateful that you don't tire and weary of us, but you love us so much. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you.